Drew, I hope you're doing well. Welcome into the game in T-Town.
Hey, Ryan, how are you?
I'm well. Are you, what's the snow like?
I just peeked out the window. I live in Hoover, and I'm starting to see a few white spots on my car. So after a day where they canceled anything and everything up in Hoover, it looks like it's finally starting to show something.
Late arrival, yeah. But better late than never. Now, how much experience do you have in snow? Like, I mean, have you ever lived in a climate where just snow is like this, where it's so prevalent every single day? I mean, if you're like me, you've just lived in the South, and it's just been nonstop.
Yeah, it's, I lived in Dothan for several years before coming up here back in 2012, and I don't remember anything down there. You know, I grew up in Tuscaloosa, so I was around for the blizzard of 93, and then, you know, I think there was one the year before that. So there's been a few instances, and I remember last year pretty well when Stan's forecast missed by a wide margin, and I know my wife was stuck about 11 hours on the road trying to get home and all that, but, you know, she made it. So it's never been one of those things where it's been every single day. There's just always, I guess, now that I've moved back up here, there seems like there's one thread a year, and I guess maybe this is it.
No doubt. Drew Champlin right now, and, you know, we're not accustomed to seeing a lot of snow, but I will tell you this, reporting from Tuscaloosa, we have got a lot of snow, and like I said, I don't even know the descriptive words that I'm supposed to use. You know, I know how to describe heavy rain, but it's the visibility is limited outside, if that tells you anything. It's starting to really snow at a rapid pace here in Tuscaloosa, and I saw the city a couple of minutes ago talking about sand trucks and some of the bridges already having some problems as the temp will fall. And you know, snow we can make it with, but ice is the one that really bothers us when it, you know, it drops below freezing and you put Alabamians on four wheels driving around in ice. That's not good.
Yeah, I love snow as long as everybody can stay safe. You know, my sister lives in Charlotte, North Carolina, and we visited her for Christmas. Probably in, I think it was 2011, 2010 or 2011, and Christmas Eve, you see snow trucks driving everywhere, and then, you know, you wake up Christmas morning, or maybe the day after Christmas, and there's just inches of snow, and you think, how are you ever going to get out of town? But it's just, you're driving through town and driving out of there, it's as seamless as can be, like on a normal day. So, they handle it a lot better in other states than they do here in Alabama, but, you know, snow is cool as long as everybody's able to find their warm place to stay safe off the road.
Drew, let's go to basketball for a couple of minutes, and I'm going to ask you about basketball recruiting as well, just maybe a general analysis. You cover recruitingal.com. You can read Drew's work. You can also connect with him, Drew Champlin, there on the Twitter account. But let's go back to basketball for a couple of minutes. Evaluate this season as a whole. Give me just your general analysis from the starting to where we are now.
Well, you know, I think there were some high hopes when the season started. I know, remember when Alabama played Southern Miss and Doc Sadler, the Southern Miss coach, said in the press conference that Anthony had said that he thought this might have been his best team yet. And, you know, Grant was going to slow play that a little bit. And looking at the start of the season, I was wondering how that could be too, just because I knew there wasn't really a whole lot of depth in the front court. But, you know, they were scoring. They were moving at a pretty fast pace. But, you know, about around after the Xavier game, the ball started to kind of slow down a little bit. Trying to pick it up a little bit now, but now there's a lot of injuries, and, you know, you kind of have to play slow when you're running out of bodies. So it's hard to say disappointing when you see a 17-11 record, but at the same time, you know, it's probably only going to be one NCAA tournament appearances in 6 years for Anthony Grant. So I think it's you know, I think he would even probably agree that it's been a disappointing year or not up to the standards that he had set so far.
Is it fair to say that this team is much better than last year?
Much better? Yeah, I think so. I think there's more. You know, I didn't cover the team last year as much as I have this year, but it seemed like last year all the eyes were on Relaford. And, you know, this year you're starting to see more guys have potential to step up. You know, Levi Randolph's kind of been the guy, but then, you know, Ricky Tarrant, when he was healthy, was having some big nights. Cooper has a big night every four or five games. And then Obasahan, as of late, because Tarrant's been hurt, has been stepping up. And Kessler's had some moments early in the year. Hale's been kind of hit or miss. And then Norris, as a freshman, looks like he's kind of starting to find his groove a little bit. So there's more balance, it seems like, more guys who are, you know, probably more confident in their offensive games. And I say that even though they're only averaging, it seems like, 60 points a game lately. But I think that's the truth.
Three games left. Vanderbilt, Ole Miss, Texas A&M. In your opinion, what's a best-case scenario?
Best-case scenario?
For those final three games.
Well, obviously 3-0, but, man, realistically, 2-1, I think. I really wouldn't shock me at all if they lose all three of them, just because I know Vanderbilt's such a tough place to play, and or for Alabama or anybody. And Vanderbilt's already also beaten Alabama. You know, Ole Miss is the only home game left, but Ole Miss is pretty talented. You know, the Ole Miss and Texas A&M are fighting for spots in the NCAA tournament, so, you know, they can't afford to lose to a team like Alabama that's running out of healthy bodies. So, you know, I'm not really all too optimistic about Alabama's finish, especially if guys like Kessens and Hale cannot play and Tarrant doesn't come back.
How severe are their injuries as far as what do we know? Is this something that they can come back from? What's been the latest on that side?
Well, you know, Hale, I'm not sure what happened to him last night, except Anthony Grant said he hurt his foot a little bit, or he hurt his foot. It must have been late in the first half because he didn't come out right away in the from the halftime locker room. He said it was the same foot he broke in the off season last year, so it probably was a deal where somebody stepped on it. Nobody has said yet that it's broken, but it, you know, as much bad luck as they've had injury-wise, it wouldn't surprise me. Kessens, you know, Grant said, and he's not been one to make excuses for injuries, but he finally said, you know, he's been dealing with his bone bruise as of late and pretty much has just got to rest and heal up, and there's no time for that. So, you know, he could probably play if he can deal with the pain, and I think that's the same deal with Perrin. I think he's been dealing with his lower leg injury all season, and it finally just got to the point where he couldn't do anything anymore. So I think, you know, Perrin and Kessens were pretty much probably all season playing with some sort of pain, and I think now it's just gotten to a point where it's just too hard to manage.
Drew, you cover recruiting. I know you really spend a lot of time with football, but I want you to maybe, if you could help us from a layman's terms, I don't know how you guys do it. And I've listened to you and other guys that cover recruiting the way that you guys do. And you guys roll off these, you know, these 40-yard dashes and these sizes and 6'3", 215, 4'4", vertical. I mean, you guys, I don't know how you guys cover recruiting. It's amazing to see what you guys are able to accomplish. But let me ask you, from a football recruiting standpoint and basketball, what is the biggest difference? How hard is it, or how much harder is it to recruit on the basketball side than it is the football side?
Well, football, there's a lot more names out there. You look in February, and you're starting to see 50 kids a day, but, you know, 20 kids a week saying they picked up an offer from Alabama or any other school. And you don't know how committable of an offer it is at that point, but there's such a wide range of kids to choose from, you know, because Alabama's only got four commitments right now in the 2016 class. So, you know, assume they sign around 25, there's 21 scholarships left, and you never know if there's going to be any decommits. So there's so many players that have been offered, and it's really, you know, a lot of the kids announce their offers on their Twitter page, so I can pretty much find anybody, you know, follow them on Twitter, and if they follow me back, I can establish communication with them, and then, you know, voila, maybe set up a phone interview. So I've got a couple just kids that have offers from Alabama, stories that's going to be rolling out in the next couple of days. So there's more guys at this stage is what I'm learning. You know, believe it or not, I've never covered recruiting in the spring. You know, I used to work for Bama Online about 10 years ago from August until February, and then I moved to Dothan to cover Troy back in 05. So many more days. There's a lot of junior days. You could get up with a kid and say, hey, how'd your visit go? And then, you know, obviously the pool starts to trickle down as the months go along into the summer seasons and or into the fall and into the winter. But basketball, it's really, I don't have a whole lot of experience covering that because I don't think Alabama's gotten a basketball commitment. Well, I think they got Dazon Ingram since I started covering, but, you know, they got one spot left. And pretty much when the guys sign in the fall, there's just not a whole lot of movement going on between fall and spring, and that's when teams are almost fighting for scraps trying to find the best player available to add to. You know, Alabama's got a spot left, at least one spot, so they're trying to find the best player available to add. So a lot easier to find football names, that's for sure.
When we look at talent as far as recruits coming in for next year, give me a couple of those guys. I mean, are these guys that are developmental guys? Do you think these are guys that play somewhat quickly? I mean, you look at Norris and being a freshman. To me, I look at him as a solid player that can make a huge contribution to this team as they move forward. Let me ask you on recruiting, break down a couple of these guys. Are they developmental guys? Are they guys that can make an impact on your program in year number one?
You know, I kind of think this class they just signed was more of guys who could make an impact in year one, because you look at Justin Coleman and Riley Norris are playing good minutes. Devin Mitchell's not really playing as much, and I think Jeff Garrett would have probably, well, they announced he was going to redshirt anyway, and then he broke his foot. So I think he's kind of a guy you almost have to add to next year's new guys, because I think they had pretty high hopes for him, but just felt like they were deep enough. You know, he's kind of a three who would have to play the four because there's not a whole lot of height. But, you know, they signed three guys. They signed Dazon Ingram, the guard from Theodore. I think he's a really good player. I've seen him play a couple of times, once this year and once last year, and I hope to see him play against Mountain Brook on Thursday night. He's a really good point guard as far as, you know, he can distribute the ball. He's not gonna light it up from long range, but you know, you could probably develop that shot. Kind of reminds me of Mikael Torrance a little bit, though I think Torrance might have been more ready to go offensively at this stage. But I think of the three, he's probably the one who's going to contribute the most right away. And then, you know, Dante Hall, not too sure what to expect because he's about 6'10". He says he's 6'11", but, you know, he's probably a legit 6'10", because I went down there and did a story on him. He said he was 235. I don't know if that's accurate or not. I guess we'll see next year. But he's kind of lean, and he's been playing 2A basketball, so you also have to wonder how's that going to translate. And then Brandon Austin, the wing guard from Carver, saw him play last week. He could shoot it pretty well, so I think he was 6-7 from the field and 3-3 from three-point line. So if he can shoot the ball like I saw him in this regional championship game last week, then I think he can contribute. So, you know, what they really need is another post and probably another post that's thick, you know, not a 195-pound post, but they can find a 235-pound, 250-pound post. It'd be a lot better for them.
We are now 2 days away from the two-week mark of starting of spring football. Believe it or not, we are now 16 days away from what we call Saban camp. As we look at Alabama, what do you think is going to be the conversation piece trying to replace a lot of the starters on the offensive side of the football? 15 days of Saban camp. What's the number one conversation you think that you will be focused the most on in spring practice?
You know, probably the quarterback competition, because, you know, when they signed Jacob Coker last year, I think pretty much everybody assumed he'd just take over from Blake Sims right away. When that didn't happen right away, I think people started to have their doubts, and then they watched Sims have a pretty good year last year. So, you know, is Coker as cracked up as he was when he signed? Can he hold off some of these young guys who, you know, all these guys that signed, most of them are pretty high 4- or 5-star recruits. Like, you know, I think Morris might have been a little bit lower, but he's going to be the most experienced in the system. So, you know, guys like David Cornwell, Cooper Bateman, and then the freshman Blake Barnett, you know, are those guys going to be able to, or any one of those guys going to be able to beat out Jacob Coker? So that's kind of the thing that I'm most interested in. And then obviously the receiver position and the safety position are some other areas where, you know, some guys and even some young guys are going to have a chance to step up.
Drew Champlin right now, AL.com. Let's go to the backs for a couple of minutes, the running back position. Looking at Derrick Henry, looking at Kenyon Drake, recovering from the leg injury. You look at Bo Scarborough, Tyron Jones suspended indefinitely, according to Nick Saban, as we'll still sort of follow that, and maybe he's got a chance to earn his way back on the team. But just looking at the running back position, I would expect Alabama, because of the inexperience on the offensive line, trying to replace three guys, that maybe you could see a little bit of a shift back to at least the balance side. This was a pass-heavy team this year in 2014. Are you expecting that this team would be balanced in 2015 or maybe even a little bit run-heavy coming back for Lane Kiffin's second year here in Tuscaloosa?
Yeah, I don't know about run heavy, but I can certainly see it shifting more towards the run, because I think, you know, if you assume that Derrick Henry and Kenyon Drake are completely healthy, then you add guys like Scarborough and they sign Damian Harris, and, you know, you see true freshmen who can come play right away. So there's going to be a lot of options at running back, where a receiver, and you know, I thought to myself, well, surely a receiver is the easiest position in the world to replace, but when I was covering Troy and they lost all their starters in 2010, or maybe I think it was 2010, and then they just really backtracked to that position in 2011. Well, maybe it's not so easy, but I think Alabama's obviously in a better place there because they do have some guys who have played a bit, like Chris Black, and there's talent there. So I think they'll be okay. But, yeah, you could see I know Kiffin likes to pass the ball, obviously, and you hear that a lot, but I could see this is going to be an offense where, you know, if they discover that their best playmakers are coming out of the backfield, they're going to do the best they can to get them the ball.
Wall-to-wall coverage of the Crimson Tide. A great way to connect with Drew is on the Twitter account. Drew Champlin there, C-H-A-M-P-L-I-N. You can find him on the Twitter account. You can also find his work, AL.com. Hey, Drew, thanks so much for spending a couple of minutes with me on a snowy day in West Alabama and a snowy day across the state of Alabama. I appreciate your time tonight.
Sure. Stay safe, and thanks for spelling the name right.
Did I spell it correctly?
You sure did.
Oh, man. Well, I mean, I was looking right at your Twitter account.
Yeah.
So it was sort of easy.
It's a lot.
Thanks, Drew.
You.